Okay. We stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There he is.
Yeah. Better late than never, huh?
I didn't get the email.
Oh, you did too?
Hold it. What am I doing in this chair?
Can I have a gavel, please?
Where's Todd?
You're leaning over.
I'm the mayor. Oh, great.
And there's your script.
You guys were on it then.
Row number two. You've already done roll call then?
No, we just had the flag salute as you were walking in.
Roll call.
Councilor Lazier.
Here.
Councilor Stone.
Here.
Councilor Egbert.
Here.
Councilor Boggs.
Here.
Councilor Meyer.
Here.
And we have Councilor Anderson is excused and Mayor McKnight is excused.
Any media present? None. By anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter, including the public hearing, will need to fill out a speaker form and turn it into the recorder. Forms are available on the sign-in table in the back of the room. The purpose of this public comment period... Oh, never mind. I'm just reading here and getting ahead of myself. Is there any public comment on the agenda
right
items tonight?
You'll never be able to pronounce my name.
Rize Feifel.
Rize?
Mm-hmm. Rize Feifel.
Would you like to speak first? Okay.
Well, I wouldn't want to speak first, but it looks like I might be the only one. What I'm speaking about.
You want to go over to the microphone, please?
You can tell I've never done this.
Is it on?
Yes, it's on. I turned it on.
It used to be on with my voice, but...
Just state your name and your
My address. Name is Rize Feifel, and what I want to speak
your
about...
Your address, ma'am?
Excuse me?
State your address for the public record.
1200 East Central Avenue. Pineview. What I want to make a comment on is the possible ban of medical marijuana dispensaries inside the Sutherland city limits. I don't know quite how to do this because I've never done this before with anybody or anything, but I grew up in a pot smoking era and I did smoke. Years and years ago when I joined the military and joined the U.S. Army, I gave everything up. I wanted a good life for my family. Since then, stayed pot free. But I will say this, I have kept up with the medical needs and the medical science and the good, the bad, and the ugly, all the way around. I have a grandson who's 15 and a half years old. His parents are Mormon. They are church Mormon. They wear the garments. I'm not. So that should tell you the diversity in my family. He was diagnosed with severe autism and high spectrum Asperger. They said he would never do anything. This child is 16 years old. He reads. He is in the top 20% in a private school in California, and it is a general private school. It is not medical. It is not anything like this. If it wasn't for the medical marijuana that he receives, basically by prescription, this child would be in an institution. I personally see nothing wrong with medical marijuana. I do agree that it should be away from schools, just like selling alcohol or selling tobacco. But if they really truly want it, whether it's medical or not, they're going to get it anyway. And if it's within the city limits, it can be have a better eye kept on it than it could outskirts. Because outskirts, anything and everything, because by the time you get deputy sheriffs here, it's over and done with. I just really want people to really seriously think about it, because in the past 2 weeks, if you are checking with PBS, CNN, Fox, anything you want to check with, You will also find out that in the past 6 months to a year, the federal government has sanctioned the University of Mississippi to use federally grown and regulated pot to conduct studies. They have been finding out that Alzheimer's research, it can delay the onset and the progress of Alzheimer's in patients and dementia. And there was a 3.5-hour special on PBS 2 nights ago regarding this. So please, for the fact that someday any of us may need it, or our children, our grandchildren, I do believe that it should be at least looked at to allow it. You've already put the thousand foot barrier on it for schools and things like this. There's nothing to be gained by shoving it outside of the city, really and true. You're going to get, then you'll get your rejects. At least this way, maybe there might be a chance, you know, that it will kind of be watched. Just like when they lifted prohibition on booze. It's going to be watched, it's going to be taxed. You might as well use the money for something. And I do appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I guess I don't need to read number four since there's only one public item. Action items, ordinance for marijuana dispensary prohibition, first reading, title only. You get to read the ordinance.
Ordinance, marijuana dispensary prohibition, an ordinance adding a new chapter 8.14 to the Sutherland Municipal Code requiring compliance with the U.S. Controlled Substances Act and declaring an emergency.
Call for staff report.
Oh, it's not CDD, sorry.
The guy on the TV screen.
Sure, I'm up. So I'm not Chad, as you realize. I recognize some familiar faces from my video screen and some unfamiliar ones. My name is David Doofman. I work with Chad. I'm one of Chad's partners. Chad relayed to me the city council's desire at its last meeting to entertain an ordinance that would prohibit marijuana dispensaries in the city. He did put together a staff report for you, and that's obviously in your packet. The bottom line here is that there is still obviously, and I think Chad expressed this to the council, a lot of debate about what authority an Oregon city has to ban, whether it's medical marijuana dispensaries or, come in a few short months, well, dispensary-wise, it won't be for a little bit of time, but recreational dispensaries. Literally, the jury is still out on that. We don't have clear direction from an appellate court as to, you know, a city's authority to have an outright ban. You have a authorization under state law that expires on May 1. That's a moratorium that many, many cities in Oregon placed on medical marijuana dispensaries. You had an ordinance that you adopted, or maybe you had your first reading on, I apologize if I get the procedure wrong, but that addressed some land use regulations that would allow for dispensaries in certain areas of the city. This ordinance tonight is something that does basically say if you're not in compliance with federal law, you can't open a business or the U.S. Controlled the Substances Act, the United States Controlled Substances Act. If you don't comply with that, you're not able to do or have any activity or business activity in Sutherland. So the ordinance was drafted to basically say that so long as if you pass this tonight, ultimately enact it, so long as it's in effect. The ordinance that you adopted at your last meeting with respect to regulating where dispensaries may go would be essentially shelved. It wouldn't be operative unless and until you did something with the ordinance that's in front of you this evening. So, you know, this is one of these mixed policy calls. You know, do you want to say no dispensaries whatsoever in the city? And there's obviously legal risks associated with that. And I think Chad laid those out. If you have more questions on that, I'm obviously more than happy to try to answer them. the bottom line is that as city attorneys, most of the folks in our community, government lawyers, believe there's quite a strong argument that, that ultimately a city or a county could prohibit dispensaries, and really that gets down to a conflict between federal law and state law. But as we said, we don't have a definitive answer on that. So I just want to reiterate, there is certainly some risk in passing this, but you wouldn't be the first. We have other clients that have, are proceeding the same way you are. I work with two very closely who essentially have done the same thing that Sutherland is considering doing tonight, which is having a ban in place and then basically kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. So with that, if there are questions, please let me know, and I'll do my best to answer them.
The two cities that are in the lawsuits, what's the estimated cost to defend something like that?
Well, you know, it's never easy to kind of predict that. I would think that the tens of thousands of dollars, that I think is fair, because you'd start out with a proceeding in circuit court, which although there wouldn't be, you know, it's really a legal issue we're dealing with. It's not a lot of facts that are involved, who did what, when, where, and why. So, you know, a lot of times in litigation, the stuff that gets very expensive is all the stuff leading up to getting in front of a judge, your depositions, your discovery process, basically. That really wouldn't be present here, but nevertheless, you know, I would think at the circuit, just the trial court level alone, you're probably looking at something around. We in fact have a client that's currently involved in a case in Clackamas County Circuit Court. I think, you know, a $20,000 figure is not unreasonable, but you know, it's hard to say what that would be, because you never know what someone else is going to argue and what you kind of have to respond to.
So should we budget for that this year? If we pass something like this?
And I realize it's a serious question. I think that all depends upon, you know, the way I would look at that question is, have you had anybody that has, in response to the council considering this ordinance, you know, threatened a lawsuit? Is there any real palpable sense that you would be sued? If that's the case and you know, you proceed forward still, I think that might not, you know, that may merit some consideration. At the same time, and I talked to Chad a little bit about this today, there is a case on appeal that deals with all of these issues that we're talking about tonight, this interplay between what a city can do under state law and what state law's relationship is to federal law and where all those intersect. There is a case that's on appeal right now to the Court of Appeals. I'm sure most, if not all of you, are familiar with it. It involves the city of Cave Junction. We're going to get a decision from the Court of Appeals eventually. I wish I could tell you with certainty when that would be. I can't. They have, you know, no timeline upon which they have to issue a decision. We sort of would be thrilled to see a decision within the next 6 months. That gives you some idea of our optimism on getting a decision quickly. But it could easily be a year, you know. So the point there, though, is that case is really going to, and it may very well be appealed to the Supreme Court of Oregon, which would be another, you know, 12 to 18 months. But eventually those cases are going to, without other legislative action, really resolve some of the thorny issues that you, along with every other city in Oregon, faces on this issue. And my feeling would be that if someone were to file a lawsuit against you, that both parties would get together and say, hey, is it really worth anybody's money right now? You've got your lawsuit in, you've sort of reserved your right to argue about this. But given the fact that you have this case that's going up the ladder, that's going to resolve this issue one way or the other, doesn't it make a whole lot more sense just to park it and wait to see what happens with that case? A plaintiff could choose otherwise. They get to direct their own litigation. So I can't guarantee that would be the outcome, but that's certainly something that we would press if you were sued.
Go ahead.
We pass the ban tonight, would that ban be effective until the courts say, no, you can't do that, or yes, you can. Will it be effective now?
It would be, yeah, it's got an emergency clause, so it would be effective upon the second reading. And my view of it is that how we've structured it is that if we get that ruling, let's say we get a ruling, let's just take it to its logical conclusion. Let's say that the Court of Appeals rules, and then one party or the other appeals that to the Oregon Supreme Court. And ultimately, the Oregon Supreme Court said, sorry, cities, you know, for all these reasons, there's no legal theory that gives you the right to ban these. We would then return to you very likely and say, well, you know, this issue has gone almost as high up the flagpole as it can go. I mean, you could appeal that to the United States Supreme Court, but let's just take it one step at a time here and stick with state court. At that point, we'd probably recommend to you that you repeal what you may adopt tonight. And then in that case, you'd be left with what you adopted at your last meeting, unless you make changes to that down the road. But you'd have regulations in place that would say, hey, dispensaries can go here or not here.
So that's the fallback, and that's plan B.
If you adopt the ordinance tonight, that would be plan B, and it would be effective, and you could choose to, a future council could choose to repeal this ordinance, this council could choose to repeal this ordinance, you know, really at any time of its choosing. But as a legal matter, I don't think it would go away until you take an affirmative step to repeal it. And we would probably only recommend you do that once we feel there's enough clarity on this issue that and that cities have not prevailed, that you are best off repealing this ordinance to allow dispensaries subject to the regulation you adopted.
So since this is a federal controlled act, does that affect our grants at all through federal agencies?
You mean as far, yeah. You know, it's a great question, and I've heard it asked a few times, but not as many as I kind of expected I would. It could, yeah. I mean, I think that most certainly in the police realm, federal grants for those types of services generally have very, very, you know, sort of boilerplate language that you follow all federal law in exchange for getting this money, and that would certainly include the Controlled Substances Act. So that hasn't been a point that's generated a lot of legal commentary one way or the other, and I don't know whether part of that is the current administration's memo, and I don't know how much Chad got into that, but months ago after Washington and Colorado passed their recreational programs, U.S. Department of Justice came out with a memo that said, basically, we're not going to sue these states, we're going to let this experiment kind of play itself out, but we will sue, or we at least certainly reserve the right to sue, if states aren't following these sort of 8 guidelines. How that plays in, I wish I could give you a definitive answer, I can't, to the question about grant funding. But a conservative answer is certainly that if you get a grant and it requires the city to be, fully complying with the United States law and the Controlled Substances Act, I think there's a decent argument that to the extent a city allows for dispensaries, that they'd be violating the terms of that grant. But I don't know that that's been tested.
So do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we adopt ordinance chapter 814 to the Southern Municipal Code regarding compliance with the U.S. Controlled Substance Act and declaring an emergency.
To approve the first reading.
To approve the first reading.
Second it.
Any discussion?
Vote. Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
No.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So, the purpose of the public comment is to allow citizens to present information regarding items off agenda. Time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. Is there anybody that would like to speak? We shouldn't have that. city meeting, we can take the comments. Okay, we're adjourned.
Now a long walk to the library.
Special meeting, and now we're going to go budget $60,000.
Okay, I have a question.
It's too late now.
Bye, David.
Bye, thank you.
Thanks.
Do you need to come in on this?
Oh, no, it wasn't a problem, I've never been through this, I'm going to have to ask the questions.
Yeah, on the public record.
People, what if somebody shows up at these, I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah, but we need to ask that on the.